It's the American dream. Give your children a better life than you had. That's what the respective parents of two African-American boys were hoping for when they sent their kids to Dalton, a prestigious, predominantly white school on Manhattan's Upper East Side. Filmmakers Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster decided to document the education of their five-year-old son, Idris Brewster, along with that of a neighbor, Cheyenne Summers. They expected great things, namely that a school of that caliber would open doors for the rest of the boys' lives. Here's the adolescent Idris wondering what it would take to get through those doors.
But if I was white, then I'd be better off. Isn't that true?
You asking me?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes. Well, at this school, I'm not saying I want to, but wouldn't that be, isn't that right?
After recording Idris and Cheyenne for more than 13 years, Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster directed and produced an intimate exploration of race and class and the black male achievement gap in the documentary film American Promise. The film makes its broadcast premiere on PBS's POV series tonight. And Michelle Stevenson is with us from New York. Michelle, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I read that when you and your husband began this film, you were following several of the diverse students at Dalton, girls as well as boys. When and why did you decide to make Idris and Cheyenne the focus?
We started the project as part of this exploration of this diversity initiative that the school was embarking on, the Dalton School, and that we as a family and Idris were a part of. And it was really started off as a 13-year longitudinal piece that would be this mosaic of a variety of different experiences and from different students in the classroom. As the years went on, the girls who were part of the project ended up dropping out of the project because I think the commitment, that 13-year commitment, was just too long. Hmm. But that ended up actually being a blessing in disguise for us because as middle school started, the girls had all left the project, still at the school. We found ourselves in the midst of really experiencing issues that were particular to our African-American boys and their relationship to education. And so we decided to keep the camera rolling and continued to explore this journey.
Things did get pretty intense in the middle school years, but even before that, there were few kids at Dalton, few people who looked like these two boys. Soon they began to recognize their difference. Cheyenne brushes his teeth to the point of bleeding to make them appear pink rather than brown. And when did you first begin to hear the awareness of difference in your son, Idris?
Oh, my gosh. From kindergarten, we were starting to hear these questions. And our son one day came home talking about, you know, they keep asking me, am I rich, am I poor? And I keep saying I'm in the middle, but they keep asking me, am I rich, am I poor? Kind of wanting to put him in a box. And so these things around racial perception and identity come from a very, very young age.
Right. I can see you questioning in the film the perception, you know, your kids are more likely to get punished at school. But there's also this punishing schedule and expectations at home. And from what Idris says, punishment in the neighborhood for talking white, as he does when playing ball at the Queensbridge Housing Projects. Here he is. I think he's 9 or 11 in this scene.
Sometimes, like, change my voice. I go, like, hey, y'all, what's up? Or I change my voice. I don't talk like I talk at Dalton cause, so they won't make fun of me. I talk slangish or something.
Turn him out!
I've been lying to my parents and saying, oh, I don't notice that I'm changing my voice. Because I don't want them, like, they're going to think that I'm, like, a coward or something.
That's a scene from the film American Promise. I'm speaking with one of the filmmakers, Michelle Stevenson, who's also the mother of that young boy, who we see turns adorable and sullen and vulnerable as he grows up. And seeing you as these loving parents witnessing his frustration, I'm wondering about that experience for you. We learn an awful lot about your families of origin in the film and the pressure that you feel like you and your husband are putting on your son. I wonder, watching the film yourself, do you look at that and say, oh my God, what was I thinking? What was I doing?
You know, of course there are painful moments. You know, parenting doesn't come with a guidebook, right?
Right.
It's something that you sort of learn along the way. And in addition to that, though, I think it is important for us to understand the context in which our boys are perceived. If anything, you know, low expectations are the norm, whether it's at Dalton or the public high school down the street.
We see these low expectations kind of borne out over and over in the film. Idris has trouble focusing at school. Cheyenne does as well. And things do get more difficult as they're heading into middle school, where both of them are put into a tutoring program. We can clearly see that all the kids in the program are Black. So there's the perception in the school of their difference. But I found myself also wondering how white children fared in the school. What do you know about that, having followed your kids so closely?
For the most part, I learned a lot of it, you know, through Idris, essentially. We had certain parents that we were also connected with, but I learned a lot about the dynamics through his conversations. And I think what's interesting about that question of tutoring, there are two things. One, you know, the administration and had the children's best intentions in mind. They talked about needing to make it a level playing field. However, what ended up happening is the boys that were being labeled in terms of being, you know, sticking out. So there's a self-perpetuating cycle of how they're perceived and then how they internalize that perception. But what we do understand is Dalton itself is really a microcosm of the larger society. Mm. There isn't really that much difference. We experience these biases no matter where the school or what type of school it is. It's really about how do we address the experience and how do we turn it around to make it more constructive? And also how open are administrators to engaging in the conversation when these experiences happen?
But there are alternatives. The principal at Benjamin Banneker Academy in Brooklyn, this is the high school where Cheyenne actually ends up after leaving Dalton, is creating sort of an alternative safe space for the kids. Let's hear from him.
When the school first started, the idea was the school would be in a community that was African American and Latino. A third to a half of the kids come from the Fort Greene Projects right here. We modeled it almost after those early segregated schools in the South, and it became a nurturing place. We want kids to be successful, do some challenging work, but made them feel good about themselves and not always worrying about how they're going to fit in or how people are going to look at them. I'm not against, you know, kids being in diverse environments. But at this point, over my many years being in this system, it's not really necessary. White people never talk about that. They never say, I want to take my kid out of this all-white school and put him in a Black school so things will be more diverse. It just, people don't think that way, and I don't know why we have to think that way.
3 out of 5.
Because we can teach our kids.
That's a clip from the principal at Benjamin Banneker Academy in Brooklyn from the film American Promise. Dalton did make an effort to diversify its population, but initially we see all white teachers until middle school when there is a Black male advisor and high school English teacher. Do you think Dalton really thought through what it meant to educate a diverse population?
I think Dalton, along the years, as they engaged in this diversity initiative, came to realize that diversity is not enough. Increasing the numbers are just one step along the process, and it requires a number of different things. One, and some of these things that it requires have to do with being able to have conversations around race, whether it's the teachers acknowledging their own assumptions that come into the dynamics of the classroom and how they perceive our boys or the girls of color, and also parents being able to get together and talk to each other about their experiences and also sharing information about what makes, you know, better solutions around, you know, homework style or even addressing questions of stereotype. And those are essential ingredients to be able to have a more successful, diverse environment. Another crucial thing that I think is important is to, once we engage in this type of endeavor that we really believe in as a mission, it is important to understand that the entire community must buy into it.
There were times when I wanted to just cry for both of these kids, for their own disappointments and some family tragedies in the case of Cheyenne. And you present pretty unflinchingly how invested you as parents are in his success. And what I'm hearing from you now is a look or a reflection of a need for a holistic approach by institutional, by parental, by familial. Looking at this now, how do you think Idris is reflecting on his own role inside of this educational experiment, which was originally meant to be called the Dalton Experiment?
I think that for Idris, what I do know is not only is he prepared academically to really flourish, but social and emotionally, these experiences he has gone through and has been able to process, and that we have helped him process along the way, gives him makes him well equipped in the future. And I think it may be a little too early to tell, you know, what the total ramifications are, because they are still growing, you know, and some of this experience is still being absorbed, especially as his world widens in the college environment. I have full faith in Idris's sense of self and ability to kind of engage in the world in a constructive way. For me, one of the highlights, painful but also important highlights, one of the scenes that we depict is really around this college application process. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to reveal it all completely. Right. But I felt very proud in my son's ability to articulate and push back against us in a discussion that ultimately, you know, his point of view was accepted. And he was able to make the trail for his future destiny.
Well, Michelle Stevenson, thank you very much for joining us and congratulations on the film.
Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure to talk with you.
American Promise premieres tonight at 10 on PBS's POV series. You can watch a trailer and find more on local listings on our website, wordofmouthradio.org.